You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, it's 9/21/22, and we are with Dutch from the Dutch Masters, carnivoretrading.com. And hey, Dutch, what have you been doing these past few months in the market? What's happening there?
Well, I'll tell you, Carrie, it's good to hear your voice again. We've been long and we've been short, and we've been long and short at the same time. It's been kind of a very dicey market where you've had to really maneuver. And I just want people to understand that when the markets get volatile like this, it's very difficult to find a trend either way. So what we do to combat that is we shorten our trading time frame. So rather than looking for what normally for us would be a swing trade, which would be a 7 to up to 90 day position, we'll bring that down to a day. We'll trade intraday. We'll trade, a maximum of maybe 2 or 3 days, because there's just no follow through on any movements. And an individual stock will spike, and in a normal market, it'll hold up and then continue to kind of float upwards in the general direction that physics took it. And in this kind of a market, it spikes and then it just retraces the next day 100% of what it gave you.
Yeah.
So it's really tough. So the way we combat that is to tighten up our time frames. We actually had one of our family members — I call them all the carnivores a part of the family — one of the family members complained the other day. He says, I thought we were swing traders, and it seems like sometimes we're trading every day or two and out of something. I had to explain that to him. I said, look, if you want to go ahead and continue to try to find a trend out there, please let me know about it, and I'll hire you if you're like the master trend finder in this kind of market, right? So that's what we've been doing the last couple months here.
That's funny. Yeah. So the key to fighting volatility or adapting to it is cutting your time frame down?
Well, it's the way we do it. There are other ways, I guess, people can do it, but it's the way that we're most comfortable. Is you take the risk off the table at the end of the day, for the most part. Let's say, for example, we have 10 positions. We might see one that is running today. We will leverage into that trade every 20, 30, 50 cents as it's running in the direction that we see it going. Mm-hmm. So we will, if a stock goes up 5 or 6 or 7 points, we're going to be buying it, 14 or 20 or 25 times during the day, and build a massive position that is really stupidly large. But what we'll do is pull the ripcord at the end of the day on, call it 90% or 95% of the position, and bank that. And we'll leave that 5% position on so that our overnight risk is normal and low.
Right. Okay. So what stocks do you go for, though? Do you go for the FANGs, which have such great volatility? Do you do cyclicals, companies getting slammed at it by the economic cycle? What's the best thing to do there?
Well, so in a bull market that is like we had in 2020 and 2021, you could buy the tech stocks, and we never buy the FANGs because that's too easy. Everybody can purchase those. Rarely do we buy those. I mean, we bought Amazon earlier this year, and that's the only FANG stock that we bought. But in a bull market, we go after stocks like Team is the symbol now, MDB. These are the, you know, big fat SaaS companies with huge margins that are growing 50% or 100% a year. Coupa Software, COUP. These are stocks that are very volatile. They'll move 3, 5, 10 points a day. MDB can move anywhere from 10 to 35 points in a day.
Yeah.
You know, so these are that's where we'll trade in a kind of a bull situation. And we recently, we're not tied to any one specific sector or theme or anything like that. We try to read what the market's doing. For example, food stocks became a pretty important thing here not long ago. And we took a position in eggs with CALM. It's Calmaine. They basically sell all the eggs in America pretty much. And, you know, you can't bake a cake without an egg, right? So, I mean, eggs are kind of almost an essential item, right?
Hey, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs, right?
That's right. So, that one has been just a champ for us. And we continue to hold and add to that every point that it goes up. We add again. So our style, by the way, I'll give you away a little piece of the secret, is if we buy 1,000 shares or something for the portfolio, when we add to it, we will add every 50 cents or every dollar or whatever. We'll add 50 cents. If it goes up 50 cents, we're going to add, if we bought 1,000, we'll probably buy 50 to 100 shares. So if it goes up 10 points, we will have added probably 10 or 20 times. But we haven't added 1,000 shares every time because that's too much, right?
Sure.
That you'd be way, way, way too overweight. So it's a way to leverage in. We call it scaling in, and we don't really scale out that often. But when we pull the ripcord, we usually pull it all the way, and get out. But yeah, that's. So recently, we've got we went to the biotechs and the healthcare. We went with CPRX. That's one of our. It is our largest position right now, CPRX, and that is a interesting company because it's got lots of relative strength and it's a commercialized biotech. They actually have a drug in the market that is selling. They have real revenue. They have $200 million in cash on the balance sheet and $4 million in debt. They're not like other biotechs that are burning money and that are, you know, going to run out of money and are going to dilute the shareholders at any moment, you know, that kind of thing. They met with a little bit of insider selling here recently, which pulled the stock off from, but they just got added to the S&P small cap 600. So there's a little bit of wind in its sails and we've got a price target of 20 on it. I think it's trading around 13. That's a hell of a return and it's our biggest position. So we like that sector. There's wind in the sails for that sector as well. It's like the first time in 20 years we've actually seen that sector start to percolate, you know?
Interesting. Any other sectors you're looking closely at?
Well, let's see here. I'm gonna actually pull up the old. We narrowed our portfolio down. We bought Netflix at about 242. It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, that's a come off the bottom play. Okay. And we're starting to see a lot of the come off the bottom plays. One of Trader Z is our resident genius. So Trader Z has a saying. He says, if a company is down 90% from its high, but it's not going to go out of business, you got pretty good odds that you might get a nice move off the bottom.
That's funny. It's funny because during the real estate crash, I had a really close friend and client. And he would buy anything at an auction as long as it was especially raw land, at least if it was trading at 10% of its pre-crash high. And he made, in Florida, made a fortune at it.
Did he really?
Millions and millions of dollars of raw land in Lee County. And back then, you know, there were foreclosures by the thousands of raw land. Mostly the people just stopped paying their real estate taxes.
Right.
Bought this stuff up for between $1,000 and $3,500. So yeah, if you don't go out of business and you're down 90%, every dog has its day, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the only challenge you have at that point in the stock market is determining, are these guys going to go out of business? And that's not that hard to figure out. If they've got a decent balance sheet and they're not burning a ton of money, you're like, okay, so a perfect example of that. We don't own this, but perfect example we looked at this morning, because it's a stock we used to own, is Vivint, BVNT, home security cameras and stuff. What an incredible company. I mean, I think Morgan Stanley has a $35 price target on this stock. I think it's trading at like six or seven, okay? And I mean, JP Morgan, that's who it is. JP Morgan's got like a $35 price target. And it's like, what is it with these guys? Well, why is this stock down so bad? It went down to like two or three. So it looks like it's going out of business. And you look at it and you go, there's no way that it's going out of business. I mean, positive cash flow and EBITDA and blah, 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 blah. So you come to find out, you have to do some more research and do some more intelligence gathering. I come to find out there's a big private equity company that backed this thing back in the day before they were public. Okay. They're selling the hell out of their stock. They don't care what price they're selling their stock at. They're just getting liquid. They don't care if they're selling it at 15 or they're selling it at five. They're just dumping all their stock. And so every single day, the market maker comes in and he's getting hit in the face with more sells from this private equity group. So naturally, he's going to keep taking the price down. And so that's what people who are buying the stock at 10 bucks and think it's a value, and it is a value at 10 bucks, don't understand. Well, why is it going to eight? Why is it going to six? Why did it go to four? I don't understand. Well, what you don't understand is the dynamics of the stock market. And you need to understand that. So now the question is, how much do they have left? Are they still sellers? Are they still going to keep beating on this stock? If not, hey, here's a company that's, you know, probably should be sold for $2 or $3 billion and trading at a $200 million market.
This is basically, it's the same company as SimpliSafe, pretty much. They sell security system with cameras, doorbells, all that stuff. And I think like Ring also. I think right. Ring was a doorbell company. Now it's a full security company. And they sold for like, Amazon bought them for over $1 billion, right?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Goldterra Resource Corp is a gold exploration company that has assembled a highly prospective district-scale land position on the doorstep of the city of Yellowknife in Canada's Northwest Territories. Goldterra is currently focused on expanding and delineating gold resources at the company's Yellowknife City Gold Project, with a goal of discovering over 5 million ounces. With ready access to infrastructure and multiple high-grade gold discoveries, Goldterra is on track to re-establishing Yellowknife as one of the premier gold mining districts in Canada. Goldterra trades as YGT in Toronto and YGTFF on the OTC. For more information, go to goldterracorp.com. That's goldterracorp.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Yeah. And here's the thing about that business. I mean, I like to also do my own on the ground. So one of my buddies in Texas has this big house, and he went and bought the Vivint system for his house. And I went down and visited him. And I said, let me see how this looks, man. And great cameras, no delay. I mean, just super stuff. And I just went, okay, well, that's a winner, you know? So it's a $1.4 billion market cap. So anyway, it's, they've got about 42 million in EBITDA. So they're not burning money.
It's a real company.
Yeah, it's a real company.
That's a real company.
And it's growing, you know. That's the other thing is that they've been really smart. They don't spend a lot of money on advertising. What they do is they basically send people out on the street. Those guys go door to door, and that's how they started this business. Went to the door, shook your hand, love to put some cameras in your house, give you a free trial for 60 days. If you don't like it, we'll come take them away. Boom, they're in business.
I like the marketing. Yeah, well, I'm looking at their financials as their subscribe, because this is all subscription income. Basically, the money that you pay initially probably covers the cost of the hardware, and then it's all about subscriptions. And here they've got, at the end of 2021, they had 1.7 million subs. If they're getting $40 a month $500 a year. And then it cost like next to nothing, nothing to maintain those subs. You got like a bunch of central stations that they call the cops when the alarm goes off, right?
That's right. No, it's they got about $1.6 billion in trailing revenue. So they're trading essentially at one-time revs. And that's what I'm saying is that, you know, they're not going to run out of money and need to do a secondary in your face. And they're doing plenty of revenue. Now, I'm not recommending it. We haven't bought it, but, you know, it's
like the story.
That's the kind of thing that that pops up on our screens and we go, okay, that's a potential come off the bottom type of trade.
Yeah. They're showing losses, but I wonder, how real those losses are.
Yeah. I mean, they've got gross profit of $1.1 billion on $1.58 billion in revenue. That's a nice one.
Yeah. They're pulling in their latest quarter, June 30. They had revenues of $407 million.
And that's right.
126,000 new subscribers. They're up to, well, these numbers don't make sense here, what they've got, but they're up to 1.85 million subscribers. And yeah, the monthly revenue, you know, service revenue is $87 million. So they're getting 60 bucks a pop.
Yeah, that's about right. And you got, they got $300 million in cash on the balance sheet. And that's about $1.40 per share just in cash sitting there. So
I like the company, man.
I actually don't think they have any debt, honestly. Or maybe they do. I haven't looked. But,
well, we can easily ascertain that.
They've got free cash flow.
Leases, levered,
no. Their levered free cash flow is almost $700 million a year.
Yeah, you know what? I'll bet they owe all the money to the hedge fund. It says they got notes payable of like $2.7 billion. But,
right. Yeah. That's it. That's it. You got it.
They owe the money to the hedge fund. The hedge fund is being short-sighted because obviously hedge fund's not doing good. They need to dump shares. We know how that works, right?
Yeah. And I got to tell you, it's just, you know, the whole private world versus the public world. That's why I like being in the public world. But, you know, I don't like getting bagged by a stock that has somebody in the cap structure like that.
Yeah. Hey, they got a nice NOL. Simply Safe should buy these guys. You know,
right.
That's simple. Right. You know, they got a $1.7 billion NOL. This is a perfect opportunity for Simply Safe or one of the others, the big ones, or maybe ADT buys it, right?
Right. That's right. Yep. Let me tell you something about ADT. Mm. So I don't know if you know this, but the carnivores just the carnivore crew here, me and my traders, we're all partners in Carnivore. We just acquired the LVX mansion. So we now have a mansion in Las Vegas.
Oh, cool.
It is. You're welcome to come visit us anytime if you're here.
I'm going to visit you. I go to Vegas a couple times a year. I'll definitely visit.
I want you to come by and visit and have a drink, have dinner. The place is this is an estate.
Oh my God, I'm looking at it, man.
What's that?
I'm looking for it here, the LVX mansion.
Yeah, so actually the I can give you the address, but it's the LVX mansion is it's in a very cool part of town called Scotch 80s. Now, nobody really knows what that is, but the old magnates of Las Vegas built huge mansions here, and they are quirky. They've got tunnels underneath. They've got safe rooms. They have, you know, castle turrets and dungeons and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Okay.
Jerry Lewis lived here. lived in the neighborhood. Jerry Lewis's manager lived two doors over, and she just passed away. The rumor is that Nicolas Cage lives about two blocks over from us. We haven't confirmed that yet. The mayor lives here. A bunch of the judges live here. I see Rolls Royces and Bentleys running up and down the road here with security detail cars behind them all the time. And so there's a Steve Wynn used to live here, and Binion guys. I mean, this was a quite an interesting neighborhood. It's 5 minutes from the center of the strip. Mm-hmm. And it's 2 minutes from the Arts District, and basically 3 minutes to downtown, where they just built the new Circa hotel and casino. So what happened was, there was a guy named Tony Hsieh. He was the CEO of Zappos, the shoe company, online shoe company. And he was a CEO there when they were doing about $1 million, and he took it to over $1 billion in revenue. So Tony bought this estate and was using it really as a place for all of the people that he was bringing into Las Vegas to work at the company. He was a hero in this town for how he brought business in and how he hired people and brought people here and paid them well. He's also was a legend for his customer service attitude towards his customers. One of those first guys other than Nordstrom who basically said, "Hey man, it's just shoes. Okay. If a customer's not happy, send him two new pair of shoes, make the guy happy, so he buys from us for the rest of his life."
Absolutely.
It's just shoes, man. Don't give the guy a hard time. So his attitude was really good towards the customer, and that paid off big, big, big time for him. Okay. So Tony had bought this place, you know, was inviting people to come to the mansion here, was putting them up here until they could find a house. But he was hiring so fast and furiously that he had to have a place that could literally fit, you know, 20, 30, 50 people, you know, sleeping at a time. So this place is pretty spectacular.
All right, I'm coming next month. Hey, so Dutch, where do we find you? How do we connect with you? How do we play the carnivore trading game?
Yeah, so we've got thousands of traders that trade with us and our family, and they go to carnivoretrading.com. And there's a 2-week free trial, and you don't have to put in a code or anything like that. You just come to carnivoretrading.com, sign up, 2 weeks, absolutely free. You'll get the sense of who we are.
All right. Excellent. Hey, Dutch, always appreciate you coming on. If you got a question for Dutch, shoot me an email, kl@kerryletz.com. Otherwise, go to our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Check out the other interviews we've done with Dutch. And we will be talking to you again real soon. Hey, Dutch, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Kerry, thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.